Holly, and welcome to Gap to Gap Radio. And we're here every Thursday talking softball. And, of course, we're talking about the pandemic and the effects on the field, getting back on the field. And I know that at least with Future Stars of Sports, was back on the field this past weekend. We got a lot to talk about with that, and we'll have Ron here in a second. Looks like we've got somebody called in. I'll check on that. Before we get started, just so we can have this as a reference later, I just looked up the numbers. Like in Indiana, cases, if you go like look at the cases, because I think one of the concerns we've talked about is if not only is if there's a lot of complaining from parents, maybe calling the governor or whatever, no matter where it is, we'll shut things down. But obviously, if we don't take care of things like, and the cases continue to rise and everything, then that would be a problem. We're seeing cases rise, and hospitals are being at 80 to 100% utilization at other parts of the country. But Indiana looks like it's continued to go down. As of June 23rd, 278 new cases. That's still pretty low. It's actually one of the lowest new case days since the big spike. The biggest spike was April 26th with 946 cases. We did have a pretty big spike on June 17th with 550. Of course, there's more people being tested. There's more people being tested that doesn't have symptoms. So that's going to raise the numbers quite a lot there. You know, talk about deaths and everything. Deaths are way, way down in Indiana. In fact, there was zero reported deaths on June 23rd, 3 days ago. That's the first time there's been a zero reported day of deaths since it all started. And the spike on the deaths was April 22nd with 50 in one day. And just as recent as June 18th, we had 19. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to stay at zero, sadly, but at least it is going down. So hopefully, cross your fingers. Of course, the cases will go up before the deaths because obviously the hospital stay and stuff, that's weeks and everything after that. Kentucky, I know we're going to be talking about getting back in Kentucky really soon. Interesting enough, Kentucky's been a little bit more strict, but if you look at the numbers, the death rate, it's kind of a horrible conversation. The death rate, June 23rd, they had 11. Kentucky had 11. That's the most since May 30th with 13th. The spike was May 19th with 20. The death rate continues to stay about the same. It's not a lot, but it continues to be about the same. And the new cases in Kentucky are not going down. And that's really interesting because, again, I think they've been more strict than, at least the governor is trying to be more strict than the Indiana governor. And new cases in Kentucky, June 23rd, 302. That's the most since June 6th. And it's actually been, other than that, the most since May. So that's a pretty big spike and stuff. Again, I know that people can go get tested that doesn't have symptoms now, so there's going to be more there. So we'll get started. I know we just in case we wanted to talk about that a little bit. We've got Ron on here. I want to make sure I go through the disclaimers. Any opinions expressed, I'll go through this pretty quick, is the property of the individual expressing it. May or may not be the opinion of National Fast Pitch Academy, Gap to Gap Radio, Holly Knight, Future Stars of Sports, or Ron Ray. Also, we're not doctors or medically trained, and any opinion on the impact of COVID-19 on or any health-related issue on an individual's health or health of our society is just that, an opinion, and not intended for advice. So with that said, we got Ron. How's it going, Ron?
Everything's going well, Holly. Another crazy week coming up. Got a 7-game guarantee that is a nightmare to schedule, and had numerous changes afterwards with a few teams dropping out and some other issues that came up. And also, we lost fields, as everybody's aware of, so the schedule had to be changed a little bit and downgraded to where most teams are 6 games instead of 7, which most teams are understanding and are just, again, happy to be playing and accepted the fact that it was six games and still a bunch of games, but, you know, I did have a team that pulled out because of that. And but, you know, it's okay. And unfortunately, we're just fighting and doing the best that we can. But overall, last weekend was a good weekend. We got to play our first tournament since March. For the most part, it was a great weekend, with the exception of Sunday afternoon getting rained out. Monsoons came into the area, and we got hammered. But, yep. You know, you can't beat Mother Nature. But overall, it was good. We had the showcase camp on Friday that you were there. You worked it. You saw it. I think we had 88 kids. 88 kids and 9 college coaches and a couple other instructors. And the feedback I've gotten back from that was good. I know several kids received offers. And, you know, that's exciting. And we're planning on doing more of those and moving forward. We've got plans to tweak what we just did and try to make it better. And overall, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a really nice weekend, a really nice day, pretty warm Friday. I got to tell you that by the time I got in my car Friday, I could barely get to the car. I didn't know if I could even walk that far and stuff, because I think I was on my feet from, 8:30 until 3:30 for the most of the day. So I was pretty beat, but it was really good. The girls were amazing. They're just absolutely amazing. They played hard and had great attitudes and everything. And yeah, if we get a chance, we can talk about that a little bit later. I've got, Ron, I've got a phone number that I'm looking at my list, and I don't recognize it necessarily. I may have not written it down, and this number has been here for a while. I'm assuming it's one of your people, but let's check and see real quick, because I don't want them to stay here real long. So let's see. It's a, hold on a second, let me connect, 502-376 number. All right, caller, go ahead.
This is John. I just called in. This is my first time calling in.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm just listening.
You go ahead. Just listening?
I think I recognize the voice. Is this John Bowes?
It is.
Yes. Holly, this is one of the directors that worked this weekend, and John is becoming more and more involved in the program, but he's one of the directors, and he worked at Lanesville this past weekend, and we'll be working at New Albany for us this weekend.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, nice meeting you, John. I'm sure we'll run at each other eventually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead.
John,
go ahead.
I was going to ask, ahead. John, do you have any input as far as what you saw this weekend? You were there. The feedback from parents, most of them just seemed to be happy to be back at the park.
Absolutely. A lot of
them.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them was just really happy to be back on the field. You know, that was the main thing for them. And, you know, so very little complaints about, you know, the umpires and whatnot, about the locations of them. You know, of course, you still have your occasional complainer, but I mean, it wasn't very often at all. It was a very good and successful weekend.
I thought so, too. And, you know, I've got a little bit of feedback on the umpires and being behind the pitching. And I know other organizations have gone on, on about their business and calling from behind the plate. My assigning umpire right now is just not ready to do that. I don't disagree with that. I just think we've got to be cautious with what we're doing. I'm ready to get back to normal, don't get me wrong, but right now I think it's feasible to continue to call from back there, and, you know, I might lose a team or two because of that, because they don't like it. I have heard a couple that have voiced their opinion. Most of them are accepting of it and understand it, and again, you know, the comment is it's fair for us, just it's fair for them. So, but overall, I didn't get a lot of that. I had a few teams to ask if we were going to do it again this weekend, and when I told them yes, you know, they were just, their comment for the most part was, well, okay, I was just questioning, you know, I was just wanting to know. And but, you know, I've had a couple that I can tell by the comments, them not being nasty or anything, but just the way their response was, that they really don't care for it. But right now, I just think being safe and being cautious is the best way. And for at least a couple of weeks, we'll probably continue to do it and see where things are at.
I saw on Facebook, and I don't know who your umpire coordinator is, Ron, but I can do some research, see if I can find it. But this umpire put together, created from scratch, like I think it was from either a liter, like a 2-liter Coke bottle, plastic that he inserted into his face mask that, of course, wasn't cloth and wasn't over his face, but kept him from expelling things out or things coming in necessarily. I think it was a pretty cool little idea. And that I don't know if that would be a compromise or anything. Obviously, it would be a the umpire's face is facing to the catcher. The catcher's face is facing away from the umpire. So it would be more of the umpire, I guess, keeping that from coughing into the catcher, I guess. But anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, if you can find that, share it with me, please.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. And, of course, nobody likes it when – first of all, nobody likes change, for one. And then when you put the umpire, which is – Ron and I were talking earlier. You go on Facebook, and it's sad. It really is sad that so much conversation is talking about umpiring and how bad or rules and all that kind of stuff. And so, first of all, you've got issues with parents not liking umpires to begin with. And then you put them in a position where they're not normally there, so you're probably going to get just some people not happy about it to begin with.
Well, I'll say this. The biggest complaint I got was from 10-year-olds. And after talking to my assigner and telling him that, he probably had a younger umpire down there. And his strike zone may have been questioned if he was behind the plate. And I told my assigner to please address that and give me, you know, they're not gearing up. So let's put quality umpires, and yeah. I'd like to think that all of them are, but let's put umpires calling the balls and strikes, even if they have to call every game from there. They're not going behind the plate, so it's not a big, you know, it's not like they're being hot and overheated because they got gear on. So let's have them call the balls and strikes, and let some of these younger ones just call the bases until we go back to normal. And,
right,
and again,
right.
I think because it was a younger one, that became more of an issue. And it may have been an issue with him being behind the plate, but naturally when there's a problem, you're going to go to, well, he's calling from out there and he can't call as good. And I don't really agree with that. I think they can be very consistent out there and call a decent game. The older age groups, we didn't get a lot back from. I only know of one coach in the older age groups that complained or made a comment. And amongst all of us directors, we know the coach, and we just kind of shrugged our shoulders and said,
yeah,
that's Henry, and of course Henry's not his name. I'm not going to use it, but he's going to complain what kind of toilet paper we have in the restroom. So and again, saying that, the person I'm talking about is very supportive of us and loyal. So, but he is one that seems to always have something to say, and we kind of blow it off. But overall, the older age groups, they were just thrilled to be playing, and most of those lost their high school seasons, and they were just happy to be on the field.
Yeah, Ron, would you like to say something? I mean, I think the complaint, I think it's all kind of like a chain reaction and some unhappiness and stuff like that. I think any of us who's been around the sport for very long understand weather is a factor. And I think if you pay any I know that you pay any attention to it, especially if you get, like, for example, you had rain. If you get rain on Friday night, you can maybe make adjustments on the schedule for Saturday. You get rain Saturday afternoon, you can make some adjustments. You get rain Sunday, it's really difficult to make scheduling, especially if it's a lot of rain where you can't even get on the field. So because partly what we're hoping that people are listening, that they can kind of understand the life of the field director or the organization trying to make these decisions? What goes through your head in that situation other than, oh my gosh, we got to do something? But walk us through that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well, you know, it really differs from park to park. And, of course, it also differs what you've got hit with and what time of day it is and, you know, what's available to you. And, you know, some parks we have a ground crew that is paid for in our agreement. And naturally, we have more access to be able to try to turn around and get something done. Other parks, we don't have that. And Lanesville is one of those parks. Lanesville, we're just fortunate to have and grabbed additional dates with the pandemic going on when we lost fields. Well, we're actually on our own there. We don't have a field maintenance crew. I pay somebody to come in and drag the fields and chalk them. And he does that Saturday morning and he's gone, or, you know, each morning. So we don't have a real maintenance field program at that park. I'm, you know, paying to use the park, and we're basically on our own, cleaning up garbage, everything. I mean, it falls back on me, and that's not a normal process for us. But under these conditions and losing parks in order to get to play, you know, I reached that agreement, and we, you know, we're at the mercy of the weather, as we always are, but even a little more strenuous during being at that park, because we don't have a ground crew. We don't have a maintenance crew that is being paid to work Monday through Friday to maintain the fields. And when somebody's playing a tournament, they're on staff. So, you know, that causes a problem. But with what we got hit by Sunday afternoon, I don't know that it would have mattered where we were at. If you were anywhere in the area Sunday, it was a monsoon. It came in probably an inch of rain in a very short amount of time. Heavy winds. I mean, it was pretty bad. And, you know, the fields looked like lakes. Matter of fact, there was still the fellow that I mentioned that I paid to drag the fields and do everything, part of the agreement is he has to go back on Sunday evening and redo the fields. So we leave the fields in relatively good shape for the park. For, you know, if they have practice or whatever on Monday, the field, they don't show up in the fields being bad shape.
Right.
So,
right.
Because of the rain, he went over, Monday and, you know, there were still large puddles on it, which he just drug around. You know, it's not his job to get water off of it when we're not playing. So, you know, there's a lot of issues. And you know, there's other parks that drain better. And there's some parks that we use. The fields in Johnson City, Tennessee, where we're at the World Series, you can have the kind of rain that we had Sunday, and 2 or 3 hours later, you're playing. A lot of fields around here, it's not the case. And, you know, it really differs. The biggest nightmare on weather is when they're calling 70-80%, and it's Friday evening and you play Saturday morning, and you're like, you know, parents are questioning you. And, you know, I'm not going to cancel based on a weather forecast. And I will get up at 4 a.m. when we play at 9 and turn on the weather and watch and monitor, because I don't want teams getting on the road traveling and then we shut down. But there's also has been a lot of times that other people around us have canceled on a weather report and then we don't get the rain that you thought. So I'm one that I'm going to try to play, and you know, it may be Saturday morning at 7 before I cancel, or it may be Saturday morning and I'm watching the weather and it looks like it's going to break up and we get to play. But I try not to make that decision just based on a forecast. But at the same time, I try to be mindful of parents that they're not on the road traveling and they've already, you know, traveled 45 minutes, an hour to get there, and then they show up the field and the rained out. Sometimes you can't control that because you know, the worst case scenario in these, when I'm saying that, is it hasn't rained. It doesn't look like, you know, it's going to rain. And then you start, you get them on the field at 9 o'clock and then you get hammered. Those are the worst case scenarios. And if it looks like it's obvious, we might pull the plug. But I try not to just cancel on a weather report. But the toughest one is that one that looks like it's going to hit you about the time you start playing.
Mm-hmm. So then on Sunday, like this past Sunday, you have teams that are obviously you can't do anything, but they're I guess, guaranteed a certain number of games. What happens then? Do they get is it just kind of like, sorry, or how does that work?
No, if they contact me and you know, I don't go back through and see, you know, this team got four, this team got three games and and that. I don't have time to go back to the following weekend. When we're done on Sunday, I am full steam going the next weekend. And just like I stated, this coming weekend is a scheduling nightmare. I have not had time to even think about last weekend. But the teams that reach out to me and contact me and say, hey, we only got two games, we only got three games, I will reimburse our, and I do it on percentage. And I'll give an example. If you paid $300 for a four-game guarantee and you got three games, naturally, you got 75% of what you were offered. So I'm going to reimburse you 25% of that fee, or we can put it onto another tournament. I have always done that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll continue to. But I don't always think to reach out to everybody and say, how many games you got, how many games you got. I need the teams to, when they, you know, contact me and say, hey, we only got two. Mm-hmm. What can you do for me? I will work with them, and I've always prided myself on doing that. I know there's other directors and other organizations that it's, you know, you're just out of luck. And I try not to be that guy. If they contact me and say, I've only got two games or whatever, I'm going to try to make it right and always have. Now, having said that, the way we're doing gate right now, the gate is a big issue. The gate, you know, if you come in and you started playing a game or whatever, unfortunately, I can't reimburse you on gate. I'm paying umpires and things based on who's in the park. And plus, the way I'm doing gate right now, I'm really not even getting what I normally would get for a gate. So, and like last weekend, the gate was set up basically on a two-day event, and we played 3 days. So typically, I would have had a three-day gate. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Right now, just like all businesses, I'm taking a hit on the way I'm doing things. I'm paying additional staff to be on grounds. Gate is much different than what it was, and I'm probably eventually going to have to go back to my normal gate because, you know, again, and with the circumstances of the rain and people wanting refunds, it's very difficult to navigate that. And they got 2 days in. Again, the way I had my gate set up, that fee really only covered 2 days. You know, and they played 3 days. So had I done the gate and done what my formula is for a gate, I should have charged the third day, and I did not. But, you know, parents don't understand that. They just know what they paid, and, you know, naturally they want some of that back. So I've got to look at something different moving forward. I don't like the gate fees. I have never liked it. I know a lot of directors do it, mainly up in northern Indiana. I think almost all of them do the gate fees every week. I never have liked it for different reasons. One, just what I just mentioned. But the biggest reason that I've always not liked the gate fee, I feel like there's times that it gets into the team's account itself to where if it's the gate fee, it's mom and dad, aunt and uncle,
those are paying it and not coming out of the team. And most teams probably collect that gate fee, but I know there are teams that get burned because they don't get all their money collected, so it comes out of their own account. And, you know, that may add up toward the end of the year that they play one less tournament. Therefore, I really don't like the gate fee, and I am considering here probably next weekend, not this weekend, it's too late, but next weekend, I think I'm going back to the regular gate, because this the gate deal with what if it gets rain, what if this happens, you know, naturally if you get rained out on Sunday, you never paid to get in if you're coming and paying at the gate. So, you know, it's just another issue that I have to deal with that I don't really have time to, and I'm strongly considering going back to my normal gate.
So a gate fee is basically you say the team enters, you're going to charge them a certain amount of money, and then they get, what, tickets or wristbands or something that gets them in?
Normally they get a ticket. And we, you know, they're color coded, and we change tickets daily for the next day. And you're charged just like you would at a high school game. You're charged to get in for that night. The next day you're charged again, and that's what I've always done. I don't like the team fee, but because I thought of it being a safety type issue, that it would be best to do this where we weren't handling things. I've also have read, my wife is a bookkeeper, and she has read where this transforming onto the, being transmitted onto money is not very high.
Right.
And she told
me
that 2 months ago, because that was one of her concerns when this first come out. But she had read that, and I don't know what the money, you know, what they actually make the material of. You know, I know it's paper, of course, but apparently it's not as highly transmitted on that. And, you know, I'm strongly considering going back to that to eliminate some of the headaches and the issues of dealing with a gate fee.
Yeah, I think it's, from what I understand, anything that's porous, the more porous the material, the less surface can transmit the virus. And I think they've even indicated that almost no surface really transmits it very much. And I think money's made out of some sort of cloth as well, cloth and some paper and stuff like that. That's why you can wash it. And it, you know, I've washed plenty of bills and everything. So, but not my laundering. I send to Sweden. I'm just kidding. But anyway, the, yeah, that's, and I think, you know, one of the things, Ron, just from my perspective, even if you said something to them up front in saying through this time, this is what we're trying to do, this is how we're going to be doing it, and it's for a short period of time, as you said, there's going to be some complaining, but most people would probably understand. Hopefully.
Most do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't gotten a lot of negative feedback. But, you know, there's always someone questions what you do and why and those type of things. I've heard others that love the gate fee. I mean, I've had a handful say that they love it. But, you know, it's just the negatives, the downside of it, just as I say. I mean, I've got people already asking about this weekend. They're calling for rain. And again, my gate fee, the way it's set up, really only covers 2 days, and we're playing 3 days. I'm paying workers for 3 days. So I'm taking a hit there, and, you know, I've got people already questioning me that if we get rained on, you know, lose games, what are you going to do? Well, if we played 2 days and you want a refund because we get rained out on Sunday for gate, I've lost a whole day there that I really did not count on, because, you know, a lot of these tournaments I typically don't play on Fridays. And I set the gate fee up. Now we're playing Fridays, because if we don't play Fridays, a lot of teams don't get to play, and everybody's scrambling. That's become a big issue with me right now, is I can't stay off the phone because somebody else is, you know, just canceled a tournament or whatever. And I'm taking phone calls that I can't help, but you know, I can't miss the phone call. It may be somebody wanting to play 2 months from now. So I take the call, and then I've got to hear how, well, we just had a tournament shut down here, or we've had this, we've had that. And, you know, I can't keep up. It's by far, and we've all been through it. You know, everybody's fighting this, and everybody's schedules has adjusted. But I went from not doing a thing 2 months ago to now probably being worse than I normally am when I was running five parks on a weekend, and I've only got two parks, and it's just it's a nightmare. And you know, I know I'm whining and crying or whatever you want to say, but I mean, I'm like it's just unbelievable the how busy I am, and it's busy doing things that are not really beneficial.
Yeah, that's because you've got to make a lot of changes and a lot of adjustments and everything that you normally don't have to do, I assume.
Right, right.
Yeah,
You know, you've adjusted the schedule. You've adjusted this.
Right.
You know, and right now, because of only having a couple parks, I do baseball as well. You know, I've shut down baseball. Well, I'm still having baseball teams call me, and I've got baseball teams that were playing in other tournaments, and they're calling me. You know, it's the same everywhere. And you know, having say that, hopefully some things open up here a little bit. I intend to play in Kentucky starting next weekend. And, you know, Nicholasville is pretty much already full with fast pitch next weekend. I'm excited about that. Beachmont's going to open back up. And I will say I did not have New Albany for next weekend. We're playing there this weekend, but New Albany was offered to me just yesterday. So we're going to play at New Albany at the new park next weekend as well. And I need to, you know, spend some time and blow that up on Facebook and put the word out. But typically I wouldn't take something that late, but it was offered. And New Albany's a really nice park that, when I have an opportunity, I'm going to jump on it. So they called me, and apparently somebody had canceled and offered and asked if I would take it. So I did, and, you know, gives us another opportunity there. But I'm excited about Kentucky finally getting to go. And my understanding is Monday they're going to make some more announcements to open a few more things up. Now, I don't know what that consists of, but I'm anxious to see what he has to say. And one reason I know that is being on the High School Athletic Association, they put out word that we should get some more information Monday. So typically when the High School Athletic Association opens up a little bit, it's also it's a trickle-down effect with what
right.
we're doing, because we're all kind of following the same guidelines that the governor's put out. So I anticipate that we're going to have some encouraging words come out Monday.
Yeah, and they're a little bit more strict at the high school associations as well. So if they can open up more, then it makes it a little bit easier for other organizations to open up. So we have Mark is here, and I haven't had a chance to hear from him. I know he was around this weekend. Let's see if we can get some feedback from Mark. I think, Mark, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Good meeting you this weekend. What was your impression, good, bad, and different for this weekend?
It was good. It was good. I mean, the coaches enjoyed themselves. They got along really well. The three coaches from down south really got around and talked to a bunch of kids, and that was good. That was exciting for the kids, and it was good for the coaches to see something from up here, and they want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a good visit on both sides there.
Yeah, they're all three private schools, I assume, and private schools typically can recruit out of state much without any changes in tuition, so that would be a positive for them, I would think.
Right. And they also, they also want parents to know, and they were sharing a lot of knowledge with parents. They were telling them, you know, that the money that you look, the sticker price is never the sticker price.
Right.
You know,
right.
They were explaining that, and, you know, so a lot of good things come from last weekend.
Yeah. Now, Mark, were you around during the just Friday, or were you there Saturday and or Sunday?
I was there Saturday. I left Sunday morning. Just beat the rain, I guess.
Yeah.
They were there all day Saturday, and it was really good. I mean, the younger kids were there, and they were getting around, so it was good. It was a good day. A lot of good crowd, good competition.
Mm-hmm. So, based on the crowd and based on what we've talked about, do you think? I was not there Sunday. I was planning on getting out there, but I had a couple things come up. But do you think that social distancing was followed pretty good, or do you think they were just pretty much doing whatever they wanted to do?
It's kind of hard to put because it seemed like a little bit of both. Like, I think that the distancing comes because, even when, before the whole pandemic or whatever, the distancing was there. People just want to get in their area and watch their kid play softball. So, there's just chairs, and then, and it may not be exactly 6 feet. It may be 5 feet. Some people may be 8 feet apart from one another.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good distancing. I mean, people stayed away from each other, and they were just doing their thing,
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I was actually impressed. I didn't make it out there. Well, I was there for a very short time Sunday morning before the rain hit. But I was there Saturday, and I was there some Friday. I was there all day Friday during the camp, and I was not there during the games Friday. But I was there for a while on Saturday, and I thought the social distancing from what I saw was really good. I mean, for the most part, nobody got in the bleachers. You had one or two, but it was only a couple. And they had their own chairs. They were spread out. Some actually set out over the outfield fence. And the chairs were lined up. So you may not have been 6 foot, but you were probably within your own little bubble. And I thought for the most part it went really well as far as that. I was quite pleased with how the parents handled themselves. Now, teens, were in the dugouts, and they want to be back to normal. And, we're not going to police that. And I think, that's kind of on them and on the coaches. And if they want to push that, they can. But for the most part, I thought the fans, the crowd itself was good, was respectable, saw some wearing masks, some others weren't. And, we suggested, but we didn't, it's not mandatory. So, you for the most part, I thought it was really good as far as the crowd went. And there was a lot of people out there, but I think it was, they managed it themselves pretty well.
Good deal. I know George is here, and I know he just usually typically just calls in to listen. But let's see. George, you got any thoughts?
No, I'm just listening.
Yeah. All right. Well, good seeing you this weekend, by the way.
You too.
All right. So you got, I'm looking at the weather, Ron. It looks like it's a similar type of weather for this weekend as it was last weekend. It looks like it's 60% chance of, 80% chance of rain on Sunday. But, around here, who knows how that's going to happen.
Lovely. I have not saw that. Last I saw, it was 30% on Saturday and 40% on Sunday. It's just our luck. We go 2 months without playing it. I don't know how many beautiful weekends that I made comments about, Lord, what a great weekend this would have been to play. And now that we get to play, we're going to start having these humidity, heat of the day, pop-up thunderstorms and things. And, hopefully good Lord spares us and it rains 30 minutes away from us and misses us. And, we'll manage the best that we can, and, fingers crossed that we get through it without getting hammered. Mark, what's going on up there in West Virginia, buddy? I know you were getting some high school teams. Does it look like you're going to get to play this weekend?
Yeah, we're going to go small tourney this weekend, just high school teams. Didn't get enough 12s or 14s or 10s, but we're going to do high school. And we're ready to play. We're going to play Saturday. Actually, we crushed it down to a one day on Saturday. Still four games. And get some swings in.
Well, good.
And
good.
Anyone baseball, anyone who wants to trickle some baseball over, I can definitely welcome some baseball over here.
Uh-huh. You said you got a one-day tournament this weekend on Saturday on Fast Pitch?
Yes, Fast Pitch tournament, yeah. Saturday, high school, one day.
Are you full?
If somebody calls, I'll make an adjustment to the schedule.
Yeah, okay. So for those that are listening, just in case we had some people listening, if you want to share a phone number for them to call if they want to get in.
Yeah, you can call me 304-382-3607, and I'm Mark McClain. Or you can call Ron, and he can get you my contact information also.
Yeah, and that is in West Virginia near, what area? What town?
Near right past Huntington. It's in Ona.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just in case, because I think we're getting a lot of people that are listening and that will be listening next day or two and stuff, hopefully, well, of course, 2 days they'll be in the tournament, but you're going to be running tournaments for a while, so they can contact that number if they're interested in that area, West Virginia.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Good deal. Good deal. So this weekend, where are you this weekend, Ron?
We're at Lanesville again, where we were last weekend. We're also at New Albany at the new Little League Park over there. Beautiful facility. Most people that play in our program have been there before, but really nice park. We've got both of those this weekend and next weekend. And, as I say, opening up Kentucky again next weekend as well. So I'm excited. Looking forward to, digging in a little deeper and seeing where we're at. I will also remind or update as far as the World Series goes. Things have is opening up down there. It does look like we're going to get to play in Johnson City. They opened up at 50%, which, cuts our parks in half. But with the numbers being down for this pandemic, I think it's still feasible. And I think they also are planning July 4th weekend that they may open up to 75%. I'm not 100% sure, but I was told that to expect another bump. So, encouraging words there. And we did move our dance DJ party. We're going outside to get around the pandemic, and I think that's going to be pretty cool. We do our team parade and ceremonies at Johnson City Cardinals, which is St. Louis Cardinals minor league baseball team. We do it at their facility. Well, they've allowed us to do the pizza party and the dance Friday night at that facility, and the kids are going to be able to be down on the AstroTurf field and dance down there under the lights with a DJ and music and pizza, and it's going to become kind of an outdoor festival. And, if we get weather, we've got the overhang and a couple other areas there at that facility that we can use. But it puts us outdoors. It's safer. And we were thinking we were going to have to cancel that event. I'm talking about the pizza party itself. We were concerned that we weren't going to be able to hold it. And then, talked to Johnson City Cardinals, and they were gracious enough to say, hey, let's do this. And so we're excited about that. And, we're still taking teams for the World Series. And now that the word is out, I'm getting teams almost daily, and don't think we'll be over 100 teams like we have the last 4 or 5 years, but we're going to have a nice event. All age groups, we've got enough to play in with the exception of eights, and I've already canceled the eights down there. Eights have been a problem all year anyway. I know there's a handful of eights playing, but they tend to travel amongst themselves and play together in order to have enough. And I had 4 or 5 eights in early, and because of the pandemic, that number started dwindling. And to be fair to the couple teams that was still in, I didn't want to wait till you know, July the 10th and say, sorry about your luck, you're not coming. And they've got hotels and they've made other arrangements and all that. So I went ahead and shut that down pretty quickly when I got down to just a couple of teams in that age group, to be fair to them. I know it was still disappointing, but I just felt like it was best to notify them out in front so they could, you know, find something else or go to another World Series.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So we've got another caller, and don't recognize this number. It's 502-777. Caller, are you there? It's a 777 number.
That's me, Holly. It's Bernie on his cell phone today.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody, but I'm on the road.
Okay. All right. Well, you be careful, and thanks for calling. I'll go ahead and put you on mute unless you got something you want to say.
No, I'm good. I was real thrilled with the way things went last weekend, though. I will say that.
Good, good, good. Well, it was just great to be back with softball, be back on the field, be back in the sun. Everything was just really, I mean, to me, it was just really nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you be.
Wow, it was great.
Yeah. Great. That's
all
true.
All right, I'll
let
you at it.
Okay. All right. Thanks. All right. So, by the way, Ron, if you, I'm gonna conduct some business here while I got you here. When you get finished, a brainstorm just popped in my head while we're talking that you might be interested in to do in your tournaments. So I'm gonna, you give me a call a little bit later. I got this idea. I want to run by you.
Okay, we'd love to do that.
Yeah.
Always looking
for
new ideas.
Yeah, I think it just popped in my head, and I think it might be pretty cool. So I'll we'll talk about it at that point. Anything else? I think we still got Mark here. John, anything else you've got?
No, I'm good at the moment.
Yeah, good. So so we got Mark, got everybody here. Ron, what else you got going on?
Well, I'd like to touch base on the showcase event that we did.
Yeah.
Again, 88 teams, 9 coaches, constantly changing and critiquing that. I know you come up with some new ideas after we did it that we'll discuss later. But overall, I thought it was successful. Again, the feedback I got from parents and players and the coaches was good. I know several kids got some really good looks, and several got offers. And I think that, this is something that we are going to grow and really look forward to moving forward with that. We've got one coming up July the 25th in Johnson City, Tennessee, the week after the World Series, that we'll have several college coaches at. Format may be a little different, but we're trying to get more and more involved with having the kids get out in front of the coaches, and also have changed our time limits for the older age groups to where they're getting 80 minutes and you finish the inning, so pretty much an hour and a half, which for the most part, they get pretty much to play a whole game if they get in and off the field and don't spend a lot of time huddling up and talking when they come off the field, which in the older age groups, you don't get that as much as you do the younger ones. But we're very encouraged and excited about the move of going into that direction with the showcase events. We're also got one in the last week of August. It's going to be in Nicholasville, and a few others planned. We had several planned this year until the pandemic hit. We were already moving in that direction, but we're getting more and more coaches involved and really excited about that opportunity. And Mark is involved in that, and of course yourself, and also have the opportunity or discussing taking one up to Terre Haute, Indiana, which that is not a done deal yet, but we're wanting. The plan is to take the program to where we do these college showcase exposure events on a regional basis, and probably, hopefully, we'll have one about every 2 weeks at a different location. And they'll all be within driving distance of this area. But, there's going to be a few that is going to be a hike. I know Mark and Coach Robbie Lamb from Guilford College, are planning one in northern Georgia. I believe, and Mark, you can speak on this. I'm not sure of the dates, but I'm thinking around August 13th or somewhere in there, and 13th may not even be a weekend. But I know they're planning one in northern Georgia. We are hoping to do some things in North Carolina down there where Robbie is coach at Guilford. As most people are aware, we had two coaches from North Carolina and one from South Carolina come in. So we're also talking about doing things in their areas. But we're wanting to do a lot of regional-type college showcase exposure events that teams can travel, see different teams they don't normally play against, plus a handful of probably different schools from that area that we can attract the college coaches that were in their backyard that you may not get up here. So we're excited about that. I think it's something that we're on the right path. And, of course, we have to critique and make changes and take a step back after we do each one and say, hey, how can we improve this? But we're excited about that movement. And Holly and Mark, you both are, you know, involved in that, and you feel free to speak on that. But Mark, correct me on the dates down there in the Georgia event that you all are doing.
I think we're looking, like you said, Johnson City on the going on my calendar really quick here.
That one, Johnson City is July 25th, 26th.
Yeah,
it might
July
include the 24th. 26th. Yeah.
You know, and then we may include the 24th. And then in August, we were looking at the 15th, 16th, actually here in West Virginia. And then
okay,
the end of the month in Nicholasville. And then we were trying to wait because of the pandemic. We were just trying to figure out who we can get where. In Georgia, they play softball in the fall. So you may lose something there, you know, as far as participants. So we were trying to figure it out. If we don't do North Georgia this year, we'll make it bigger and better for next year, definitely. They'll be able to play on North Georgia's campus, which is a turf field, really nice field. So that would be exciting. Four field complex right next to it. So we can get a lot done in that area. Just a whole bunch to look forward to. I mean, just – this whole COVID-19 thing kind of set us down for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, but it's pretty exciting for sure. The the showcase, I think we had eventually, so we had some girls show up that didn't register and some girls that didn't show up that did register. So I think it was like 84 girls, you know, give or take a few and everything. And so then we had the rotation and stuff. One of the things that I thought went really, really well because of the pandemic, because we try to rotate to keep the 10 or fewer down, 10 athletes or less per team. So since we did that, that made it a little bit different. But I think because of that, we learned some things, or at least I did. And so that went pretty good. Whether we'll stay with that once the pandemic is over, is up to everybody. But I thought it went pretty good on the rotation and stuff. And of course, it's a long day. They were pretty cooked by the end of the day. They were pretty tired.
Yeah, they were worn out. There's no doubt. Yeah. And you know, some of that is suddenly we're jumping right back into this.
Right.
And a lot of the kids haven't done anything. I'm experiencing that at school where we've mm-hmm. gone into certain programs and, you know, kids are out of shape. They've mm-hmm. sit on the couch or wherever for, you know, 3 months and didn't do a lot. And then suddenly you throw them out here and expect them to be at their best. And, you know, that's not the case. And, you know, I was happy to hear some of the coaches address that. You know, they even told the kids that, hey, you know, you're not at the top, you know, of where you should be. We understand that, you know, some of it's a little rusty, but, you know, keep your head up and keep working hard. And, you know, they did address that with them because I think a few of the kids were disappointed in their performance. And, you know, you're just getting back at it, and it takes a while.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. I have, as I mentioned, I had quite a few lesson clients and prospects that I work with, college girls who want to go to college, that was at the showcase, and I talked to almost all of them since then or during that day, and I knew where all of them were, and a few of them have been pretty good at staying in shape. One girl had a great showcase, and she hit the ball really well, from what I understand, during the tournament. But another girl, I don't think she did anything, and she was really out of shape, and she was struggling to get through. So as we get deeper into the summer, they'll get a little bit better shape.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we're also, and I don't know that we'll pull it off this year, but one of the things in these camps, we're wanting to kind of create a list, and we'll end up having a – event at the end of the year where it's an invitation only, to where these kids that really got highlighted and had some coaches that really said, hey, you know, I'm interested in this kid, we'll get invitations back and give them an opportunity to get in front of that. And I'm not real sure how we're going to name that or whatever, but it's almost going to be like an all-star elite type camp where it's invitation only, and
mm-hmm.
I think that'll be a nice draw as we get it more formulated and put it together, because if kids participate in a couple of these and they get attracted, or, you know, a coach has some interest, then they're going to get that invitation to show themselves again, and they may not get an offer this week, but if they're invited back, it's because somebody, you know, they've caught somebody's eye. So
we're
trying to formulate that to make that, you know, an exciting season-ending type event, and not 100% sure what direction we're going with that, but we're in conversation of doing that as well.
Yeah. Good deal. Good deal. So it looks like we're about ready to wrap up. Let's see. Mark, anything else?
No, I'm good. Like I said, if anybody wants to pick up this weekend, just give me a call and I'll throw you in.
Great. Good deal. And remind me, Mark, and I'll get your phone number down in the description so that people can contact you directly if they need that. So because anybody who's listening to this will see the direction or the description down below. So we'll get that in there. So let's see, that's Mark. John, any last words?
No, ma'am.
Great. Well, appreciate it. And let's see. I got George. I know he's driving. Any last words, George?
No, thank you. Everything's
all right.
Fine.
Good deal. Where are you heading?
Sitting at my table.
Okay. Good deal. Good deal. All right. Ron, you got anything you want to finish with?
No, I appreciate all these guys, all my directors and people that help me out. They don't know how much they mean to me. And Holly, you're the same. I appreciate everything you're doing. Looking forward to continuing this show. Hopefully we can get it to grow and get a bigger audience that do enjoy spending time with you, and looking forward to moving forward. Again, practice social distancing. Bring your chairs to the ball games. Spread out. And be patient with us, but appreciate all the support. I will be in touch with you guys on here, and Holly, you all have a great day, and be well.
Yeah, what we can do, Ron, is have like the 10th caller gets like a something discount, like at the concession stand or something. I'm just being silly, but anyway.
I'll buy them a hot dog.
Well, yeah, exactly. All right, well, that's the end of the day. Again, remember that we get together every Thursday at noon Eastern time, and it's Ron with Future Stars in Sports and myself, and we've been getting a regular, obviously a regular calling in from directors and people from Future Stars of Sports. If you want to, you still got time to get into West Virginia, and if you call 304-382-3607 into that tournament, and feel free to contact Mark with any questions for that tournament or any future tournaments. So again, this is Gap to Gap Radio. We get together every Monday at noon and every Thursday at noon. Monday is where I interview coaches and administrators on that day. So got a couple other things going to be adding soon. I'll let you know more about that. You can go to the NationalFastPitchAcademy.com website for more information, or FutureStarsOfSports.com for information with Future Stars of Sports. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.
You as well, Holly. Thank you.
Thank you.